So you have a lot of people, I guess, on campus, though, like labeling you and the group as like white nationalism, and saying that these are racist views. What would you? And I know you've already spoken with regards to that, but what would you define as white nationalism and as speech that is racist?
Well, I would define white nationalism as a very natural phenomenon. I mean, there's such a thing as, you know, Asian nationalism in Asia.
So African, would you say you are a white nationalist?
Well, yeah, in a sense, yes, because I see the root word in Latin of nation actually means people or race. And so the nation evolves along racial lines. There are clear ethnic delineations between, you know, countries, and these are why borders are established, is to protect a specific people, you know. There are people that are trying to erode our identity to tell us, you know, oh, whiteness is just... it's like a social construct, or, you know, whatever this poster refers to. But really, I see, you know, we do have to take these measures to assert ourselves, the legitimacy of our country, the legitimacy of protecting ourselves within our own borders. I'm not, you know, saying that we should, you know, go colonialism 2.0 and start invading other countries. But I find it very hypocritical that people that, you know, supposedly oppose colonialism are perfectly okay with colonialism in its modern form. We are being colonized now. And so I oppose that. And also, again, I just want to again, emphasize the double standard of saying, you know, it's okay for black people to have majority, you know, homogenous black countries in Africa. It's perfectly okay for Asian people, for Japan, for instance, to have a 98% Japanese population with Japan. They don't get criticized for that. And yet we are being criticized for not wanting to be ethnically cleansed within our country.
It's fair to say that Canada is a country where, like, multiculturalism has kind of been integrated, like, for some time now, where several decades you have, like, major waves of people coming from different parts of the world, and there's been a lot of, like, I guess, blend of different races, like, going on.
Only since the 1960s. Yeah. Prior to the 1960s, Canada was really I'm talking over 90% white. So to say that there were significant contributions to the foundation of our civilization prior... There just wasn't. I mean, it's been since the 1960s and especially the 2000s that we've had this real foreign influx of, you know, foreign races, right?
Yeah.
But up to the 1960s, I mean, I don't think that there's any proprietary claim to Canada.
Yes. Where would you draw the line when you have people who are, like, mixed race and people of various origins?
Well, actually, this brings me to my poster campaign that I had suggested, which was rejected by UNB. Anyways, let me just read it here. You know, the National Socialist Canadian Labour Revival Party wants you to know that the Canadian birth rates are far below replacement levels. The government spends $23 billion per year on immigration instead of incentivizing Canadian birth rates. The strength of a nation is in its healthy families. And so we feel that there is far too much squandering of our resources in foreign affairs, especially with regard to immigration, and that really one national socialist principle or policy that we would like to see implemented would be the one-time issuance of a loan to a couple upon marriage, which for every Canadian child produced by the couple, 25% of the loan is forgiven, up to a maximum of 100% or 4 children. So really, you know, the claim is that, oh, because we have an aging population in Canada, we need all of these foreigners to come in here and replace us, when really we should be incentivizing the growth and renewal and replacement of our own population.
So that tactic was used in Germany by the Nazis when they were propagating the Germanic tribes and the Aryan race.
Yes.
And you use an eagle on your papers.
The Roman eagle, yes, it goes back to Rome.
So you're going with the antiquities in Rome. Are you associating yourselves with the Nazi format of creating an Aryan race, or, like, the ideal Canadian here? Like...
Well, really, the National Socialist principles can be applied by any race to secure the existence of their race, which, again... We support the right of every race to exist, free from invasion, free from threats posed against their existence, so that they can perpetuate themselves indefinitely into the future. So that is what we wish to see accomplished for ourselves, and it can be adopted. These these policies can be adopted by any race and nation. And yes, it is specifically racial. We believe that true diversity means the maintenance and preservation of every race. And so that is what we wish to see. Germany, as it stands, with the failure of the National Socialist Party in the 40s, unfortunately, since that event, Germany has been completely genocided. I mean, their demographics have shifted so dramatically that there's no way that the once glorious nation of Germany and its Aryan race will be able to continue. And we want to prevent that from happening in Canada, if possible.
So do you feel the Holocaust was justified then?
Well, I believe that the victors wrote the history, and what we've been taught in school and through Hollywood has been a rather one-sided account. And so I've heard first-person testimonies of Holocaust survivors that seem to conflict with the prevailing view that it was nothing but, you know, a horror atrocity, you know, massive genocide of Jews, because if you look at the state of Israel today, it's a protected ethno state. Israel has explicitly racial border laws. There's no citizenship by birth in Israel. It's citizenship by blood. You have to have Jewish ancestry to become a citizen of Israel. And not only that, they have a border wall. And they have implemented all of these policies to protect their country, which I think is really smart, and which I would like to see us adopt in similar policies.
Virtue by blood.
Yes, well, I believe that citizenship by birth creates an incentive for invasion, because if it's that easy to become a Canadian citizen, you know, I mean, what is there to really protect our citizenship, you know?
You've talked a little bit about immigration, and I'm wondering, do you favor any sort of long-term immigration other than people coming short-term for working or for student visas? Could you elaborate more on your views on immigration in general?
Well, I think that, you know, ideally perhaps not, but given, you know, where we are and just the reality of this situation, I believe the best thing we can do at the moment is to just halt all immigration and perhaps consider deporting first-generation immigrants.
And would you support white immigration?
Yes, I would.
One of your big things that you keep raising is kind of like preserving, like, I guess, the original Canadian race, like, per se. Like the French and the English and like the original like founding Canadians. But wouldn't that kind of be detrimental to that goal if you were welcoming in people from other nations, even if they were white?
Well, I don't see any real need for it as a potential perhaps in the future. But for now, I think we just really need to stop the hemorrhage, I mean, of our people. Like,
is your group at all anti-Semitic or anti-Islam at all?
We're not against anyone. We're for ourselves.
Okay.
And if anyone is against us, then they kind of make themselves our enemy, you know. So I wouldn't say specifically, no, that we are anti-Semitic or anti any other group. But the fact remains that, you know, Jews, for instance, are actually only 1% of the population in Canada. And so I don't feel that they should have special protection from, you know, looking at the history, talking about our mutual history. And
what kind of special protection?
Well, there's, you know, been issues in Canada in the past, for instance, with Ernst Zundel, who, you know, questioned the official narrative of the Holocaust, who was landed himself in quite a bit of, you know, legal trouble for looking at this historical event from the German perspective. And also Sylvia Stolz is a German lawyer who presented empirical evidence in her defense of Holocaust deniers in Germany, where she's now, she's been imprisoned, in fact, for casting doubt on the official narrative of the Holocaust. So my point is that we should be able to freely discuss anyone's history and everyone's history without being antagonized with all of these claims of being anti-Semitic, anti-this, anti-that, when, again, we are allowed to be criticized publicly. I mean, and these are explicitly racial terms that are used to describe us in a negative light. And so why should I take someone's accusation of anti-Semitism seriously when they are, you know, there's anti-white narratives being presented. So
would you sympathize with the views of other people in your group? Like, would you say you guys are like-minded for the most part?
Like, yes, with Michael and everybody else? I would say probably, like, we perhaps have some minor disagreements, but we've come together in unity to represent the interests of our country.
Okay.
Yes. So basically, I mean, we do agree on most issues, most major issues, I would say. So, yes.
Okay. So I've read a little bit of stuff on Michael and some stuff he's put out, and I've read some stuff on a couple chat boards, and a lot of the stuff I see is anti-Semitic, and it's kind of just using a blanket term against Jews. Saying that they're working against white population and also anti-Islamic stuff. So would you agree with those views? Or?
Well, I just from my own research, I looked up the Jews that are in Parliament, I believe, in 2015. There was an article put out by some Jewish organization within Canada. And basically, these Jews in Parliament are promoting diversity as a Canadian value in one breath, and in the next breath they're saying they admire the State of Israel. And as I previously said in this interview earlier, is the State of Israel is a protected ethnic homeland for Jews, which rightfully it should be. I believe Jews should be protected in their homeland just as we should be protected in ours. But the point is that there are Jews in Parliament that are promoting these types of views of diversity and increasing immigration for us, while, you know, they're saying that they admire the, you know, the border walls and the ethnic, you know, immigration laws that Israel has. So it just, there seems to be a bit of a double standard there. I'm not saying this is all Jews that feel this way. There's certainly honorable Jews, I believe, that support our view, and in that, you know, they have their privilege to be in our country here, you know, and I think they should support our country and its continuation and its present form without the massive demographic assault and attack I feel we're under.
So you kind of just said those views on Israel and being Jewish are independent from each other, right? Like, you don't have to be Jewish, and not all Jewish people believe that. But
yes.
When people what was her name? McPhee?
McPhee.
When they talk about your group, they're not specifically talking about your posters, but I'm assuming a lot of them are going online and finding a lot of stuff these guys are saying. And when they're throwing out blanket terms like Jews are responsible for this, and like, how do you say that's not anti-Semitic?
Well, you know, perhaps, you know, that is the case. I mean, if there are Jews that are responsible for this, I think they should be held to account just as any other person, regardless of their ethnic group, who's advocating for our destruction, should be held to account.
Okay.
So.